Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's the beginning of a brand new week, and you're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across from me at the Supernatural News Desk with his little green visor on and his glasses, all prepared to deliver the news that's fit to be told, our own Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Evening.
Listen, I've got to address something real quickly here.
Sure.
A lot of people jumping all over me.
What?
Where's the link to the Black Eyed Kid story? If you can't deliver a link, it's not a real story. Why are you even telling stories if it's not a real story? Listen, we're talking about Bigfoot. We're talking about ghosts.
Yeah.
We're talking about Black Eyed Kids, UFOs.
Right. Right.
To the mainstream, none of this is real news. What we do is we deliver news stories that are delivered to us. We share them with you, stories that we cull from all aspects of the internet. You heard the news story because we played the damn thing. I can't be held responsible for it.
Right.
So that's it. You heard what we heard.
Right.
Well, there should be more about it. Well, then talk to them. That's all we know about it as well.
Right.
So getting all up in arms with us isn't going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, don't yell at us.
Being all persnickety.
Yeah, persnickety.
Yeah.
I loved him in the Harry Potter movies.
No. That was a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah. Oh.
Persnickety's series of unfortunate. No, that's Lemony Snicket. So close.
Oh.
Listen, we got a full week lined up for you. We're going to do Parashare Supernatural News tonight because you people demand it.
Yeah.
Then tomorrow, Dr. Michael Sala will join us as we talk about this secret alliance between the Navy and extraterrestrials, Tim.
I hear it's only on shore leave, Dave.
No.
What?
Huh? Then Dr. Scott Kolbaba joins us on Wednesday, Tim. We're going to talk about doctors' untold stories with the supernatural.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. When the supernatural and science butt heads.
I heard some very interesting stories when I was in the hospital.
Really?
Oh, God. Yeah. From like, nurses and.
Really?
Yeah. Some really cool ones, too.
Well, share them. It's a Parashare night, and we'll do supernatural news in a bit. But what have you got for us?
I'll tell you one.
Uh-huh.
Can I name the hospital?
Why not? What are they going to do? Sue us?
Well. I was over at Fairview Riverside, part of the University of Minnesota system, and there was one nurse that was telling me that there's a part of the hospital on the floor that I was on that they're afraid to go into this wing because they've actually seen shadow people and things move on their own.
Really?
Yeah. And they say, especially at night, there are certain nurses that will not go into this part of the wing of the hospital.
Him say we no go any further. Him say this be an evil place.
And I said, are you serious? Just wheel me over there. I want to see it.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't. They were giving me my IV at 2 in the morning.
So. Now, you're going in for surgery on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yes.
Are you staying the night?
No, it's just, I know, right? No, it's same day surgery. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Next time you're in the hospital for a couple of days, you should start doing EVP work in your room while you're there. You are an investigator.
I am.
Yeah. You are a radio show host.
I am.
We could use some of that evidential stuff to talk about on the air.
The only issue?
It's a scientific term, evidential stuff.
Is that they have me hooked up to machines, which may interfere with the shielding of the recorder.
Binging machines is not going to give you ghostly voices, Tim. So just shut up and record. Dr. Scott Kolbaba will be with us on Wednesday when we talk about science and the supernatural. Thursday, Shell Taylor joins us. We're going to talk about children of the paranormal. Tim, what happens when our children are involved in the supernatural? And then Friday, Bill Burns is here, Tim. Bill Burns.
Oh, cool.
From UFO Hunters, Ancient Aliens, UFO Magazine. We're going to talk about the 75th anniversary of the Battle of L.A., the War of the Worlds, Tim. Aliens. That's what we're going to discuss on Friday's show.
Is that like the show they used to have on back in the 70s on ABC? The
Invaders?
No, the...
Twilight Zone?
No.
Dukes of Hazzard.
The one that was on Saturday afternoons with
the Smurfs.
Olympics of the Stars or whatever.
Laugh Olympics?
Not the Laugh Olympics.
Circus
Challenge
of the Stars. Battle of the Network Stars.
Battle of the Network Stars. Yeah,
wow. Yeah. Way to throw back an insignificant term, Tim. Yeah.
Is that kind of like that?
Who didn't like watching T.J. Hooker square off against John Poncherella?
Nobody.
Remember that?
I know, yeah. I would.
That was back in the day. Now we have a bunch of sissy actors and actresses. You'd never see a Battle of the Network Stars.
They'd never get out there and tug a war.
Nope.
No.
Well, tug something. But got supernatural news to share. We've got a pair of share stories, your stories, and they're being emailed into me as we speak, dave@darknessradio.com. Did you have any other cool ghost stories from when you were in the hospital, Tim?
I had a lot of people share stuff, but I don't know that I can share their individual stories.
Well, can you tell us without telling us their names or... breast size? Whatever.
Oh, God, I'd love to tell you some breast sizes. The nurses, the female nurses over there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
At where?
Fairview Riverside.
Okay.
They are.
I'll come visit you this Wednesday.
I'm thinking about checking myself in.
You should.
For another good.
The
food horrible. The nurses are delivered from God.
They're, really?
They That's are nice. Amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, you're going in for surgery on your foot. Good stuff. It's all positive, trying to get you healthy. But keep Tim in your prayers and thoughts. He'll go in Wednesday the 22nd.
I'm going to get me a flat foot, Dave.
That's good.
Yeah, you won't, rocker bottom.
You're not going to be able to attend the Palmer House event this weekend, but we elected to let you out of your contract in order to get yourself healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you're I welcome. Can be. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll, maybe we could do like a little Skype session or something.
No, probably not. I'll be busy. I've got the stuff and there's going to be junk. Anyway, let's get to some supernatural news, Tim.
Okay.
All right. What have you got going in the world?
Let's start here in Minnesota, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun.
I didn't know we changed the state anthem.
What is the state anthem of Minnesota?
Isn't it the University of Minnesota
Purple Rain?
Team? No.
Oh, really? The University of Minnesota?
Sky U Ma, Dave. Sky U Ma.
What? Did you swear at me in Swahili?
No, I didn't. Swahili.
Squaw your mom, too.
No, Sky U Ma, Dave. Sky U Ma.
Yeah, leave my ma out of this.
M-I-N-N-E-S-O-T-A. Minnesota. Minnesota.
Way to alienate all 49 other states.
Gophers.
Yeah.
The Minnesota woods are full of creatures, if you didn't know it by now. From deer and rabbits to more dangerous specimens like... deer and rabbits.
What? You just said the same thing.
I did. Mm-hmm. One creature, however, seems to loom over the others, rumored to stand anywhere from 7 to 10 feet tall. I'll give you a guess as to what it may be.
Paul Bunyan.
Well, there's that.
Babe the Blue Ox.
There's that, too.
Captain Spam.
Yes, Captain Spam. And then there's, of course, the Jolly Green Giant.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He lives in our state, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Le Sueur?
Don't call it a sewer.
No, where isn't it like Le Sueur, Minnesota or something?
Yeah.
That he's standing. Is he still there?
He's there.
The giant statue standing there?
Yeah. He's there. That's cool. He's waving to everybody.
Ho, ho, ho. Green giant.
My whole goal is to look him in the eyes, She Squatchers co-founder Stephanie Ayers said of the creature.
The Jolly Green Giant?
No, I think she's talking about Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She Squatchers.
She Squatchers. That's the name of her group. She
Sounds
Squatchers.
Like an unpleasant female malady.
You know what it is?
What is she suffering from, She Squatchers?
Yeah. I think that generally happens when you're out in the woods, Dave, and you've got to take a number one.
Just a number one?
Yeah, just a number one. There's a lot of She Squatchers out there.
Okay.
Be sure to bring your Charmin.
So who is this now? This is in Minnesota. There's
in Minnesota.
She Squatchers by the Seashore.
Right. That was a song by Cyndi Lauper.
What? If I remember. No, that was She Bop. Oh. Tim, very close.
It wasn't
though.
She Squatch?
No.
Okay.
All right. What's the story now?
She Squatchers co-founder Stephanie Ayers said of the creature, it's exhilarating and fun.
Ooh.
She's looking for a little Bigfoot action, and you can't stop her. She is, of course, talking about Bigfoot. She Squatchers, the Midwest's first all-female Bigfoot hunting team, kind of like the Go-Go's of Bigfoot hunting teams.
Are they?
I bet
they wouldn't like that, you sexist pig.
I know. Is a research team located primarily in Minnesota and North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Ayers, along with fellow founders and team leaders Jen Cruz and Kimberly Juarez, founded the group exactly 1 year ago as of this January.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary, baby. You got Bigfoot on your mind. Look at me go. Yeah, wait, it's radio.
Did you start on meds already?
I did.
Yeah, it's showing.
I'm on pain meds, Dave, and I like it. I like it a lot. She Squatchers, the Midwest's first all-female Bigfoot hunting team, is a research team located, I read that already, I'm on the pain meds, Dave, you can't stop me, you can only hope to contain me. We're going at it from a paranormal investigator perspective, Ayers said. We just want to prove that they're out there.
Okay.
Take a picture, it lasts longer.
Sure.
I think that's what Pee Wee Herman said. While most of the women in the group double as paranormal investigators, which according to Ayers may help them make contact with a Bigfoot, she also believes that women may have a better chance of interacting with a Bigfoot than a man, Dave.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
You know why?
Why?
Because men are bigger and more aggressive than women, she said.
Ooh, I see.
We're just little creatures, so they certainly wouldn't be threatened by us. It may be the Bugs Bunny scenario, a big bug. Why can't I say this? Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd deal. You know, you dress up real nice and cute, and then you fool the Bigfoot, and when the Bigfoot comes around, they give him a little kiss on the lips and go, mwah!
You are so high. Next time, stay off the pain meds before the show.
Okay, I will. Sorry, I'll try to dose afterwards.
Obviously.
The group explores areas that are said to house Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
They have foots in here, but I know the proper plural.
Right, Bigfoot.
Based on tips from area natives or based on their own research. The end goal, according to their webpage, which is shesquatchers.com, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it is.
Is to establish first contact and peaceful interaction with the Bigfoot. Ayers said, we have little quirks that others don't have in this field, like most of us being intuitive sensitives.
Ooh.
Ooh, so you can read Sasquatch's mind.
So they're
baby.
Sending out the vibe to Squatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come get
some. She Squatchers! They need a cool theme.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you think we should write one?
Yeah, let's get on that.
Yeah. There are a lot of female Sasquatch researchers out there, so it's not a new thing, evidently. But I think we're the first big team that has all of these other things as well, so we're very unique in that aspect. While the group has a number of distinct characteristics, they've yet to make contact with a Bigfoot. However, they believe that they may have come close during one particular excursion into Chippewa National Forest in Minnesota, where the women experienced something that they couldn't quite explain. The Northwoods did not disappoint, said Jen Cruz on an episode of The Calling radio show. The Calling. Call now. That could be some sort of weird late night radio.
You need Ritalin. You are so loopy over there.
I am a little bit.
And I think we got Cinco de Nino happening
Cinco
early this month.
Cinco de Nino.
Yeah. Okay.
Which she co-hosts with Ayers' husband. Got the hubby involved. It could be some sort of weird she squatch threesome. That is for sure. She said.
Would that make it three squatch?
A three squatch. Yeah, instead of a she squatch. I can't say it. Mm-hmm. She squatch.
Mm-hmm.
He squatch and they squatch. According to Ayers, the women could hear something large moving through the forest and had a number of rocks thrown towards, but not at them, mainly trying to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like something was trying to get our attention, she said. Then we heard some knocking, and at one point, I felt like they were totally surrounding us. It was amazing what happened. Was it Bigfoot? I don't know, but I think it was. The women camped in the forest overnight and reported hearing some howling and footsteps, but didn't see anything concrete over the course of their trip. Isn't that the Wolfman?
I don't know.
They did, however, capture the sound of the rocks being thrown on voice recorders, which sound a lot like rocks being thrown on top of voice recorders. Yeah. You can hear the rocks going up through the branches and coming back down. I would say it almost sounds a little bit like a home run, but we here in Twins country don't know what a home run sounds like
anymore. Wow. We did 91.
Well, yeah, we did in 91. Mm-hmm. Crew said, it's pretty neat. We were the fearless she-squatchers out there on our very first expedition, just us five girls. We were on our surfboards with the... was the Go-Go's Vacation album. I get those two mixed up.
Sexist pig.
Despite capturing parts of the experience on their voice recorders, the women can't say anything definitive about what threw the rocks. I'll give you a hint. It was something with an arm. Another mystery surrounding their experience in Chippewa National Forest.
I feel like I got to do a telethon for you, an intervention telethon.
You know what goes good with the pain meds, Dave? Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I got to wash it right down.
Yeah, it just goes down smooth.
God, janky boy.
Goes
go on.
Goes down smooth. Mm-hmm. There was no sign of any creature on the thermal cameras they were using at the time, which, according to the group, pick up even the subtlest of temperature changes. Mm-hmm. We had some great experiences in those woods, and we think it was Bigfoot, Ayers said. But can we say that it was for sure Bigfoot? No, they said in their Minnesota accents, because we didn't get any substantial hardcore evidence.
Mm.
Ooh, hardcore. Yeah, baby. The She-Squatchers will continue searching for Bigfoot and are hosting a Bigfoot banter event. That's where they talk like Sasquatch, I guess.
She-Squatchers!
At 10:30 a.m. Oh, wait, this was today, I think. Or not today, but this was this past weekend.
Was it?
Yeah, Saturday, February 18th. Oof. In Monoman's Red Apple Cafe.
Mono. Mono.
They basically sat down and hoped to make connections with those in attendance, talking in big in Squatchese, Dave.
Okay. Squatchese.
They said, we're just hoping everyone can come out to tell us some stories because we really want to hear them and then make the contact so we have a better idea of where to search. Evidently, the woods isn't a good enough suggestion, Dave.
There's a lot of it out there, woods.
The woods. There's a lot of that.
So all right.
That's the name of that tune.
All right. What else have you got for us?
We continue on with Sasquatch stories, Dave, because I'm enthralled with cryptids.
Sasquatch stories here on Beyond the Darkness.
Wow.
We really need to...
That reminded me a little Sweet from the Dr. Pepper commercials.
I kind of realized that halfway through.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah.
Little Sweet talking about cryptids.
A bill would make Sasquatch the official cryptid of Washington. Screw Chupacabra.
That's right.
We go to Olympia, Washington, Dave, where a new bill seeks to designate Sasquatch as the official cryptid of Washington State.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A cryptid is defined by Oxford Dictionary as an animal whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated. I figured I should throw that in there because it's the Oxford Dictionary.
Okay.
Right. The bill, sponsored by Republican Senator Ann Rivers of La Center, who evidently had nothing better to do this week in the Senate, was introduced this week after Caleb, a boy in Rivers' legislative district, wrote a letter suggesting the official status of Sasquatch, also known as Bigfoot or Forest Yeti. You know, I love that movie, by the way, Forest Yeti.
You know, that was Forest Gump you liked, Tim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Forrest Yeti didn't get himself a boat.
Mm. No, that was.
And then go shrimping?
Not at all.
You know, there's all kinds of different shrimp, Dave. It's great to learn because knowledge is power. Is this the I'm Just a Bill? Yes, I'm Only a Bill?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm Just a Bill.
Oh. I'm Just a Bill.
Okay, go on. So this story, okay. They're trying to get a bill.
They're trying to get a bill sponsored by, of course, Republican Senator Ann Rivers of La Center.
You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington.
Yes, you did. I-L-O-V-E science and watching YouTube videos about Bigfoot. Washington State is a leader in Bigfoot sightings, wrote the third grader. I've started an online petition with my dad and grandpa asking people to sign to make Bigfoot our state's cryptid.
What that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill.
Yes, I'm only a bill.
And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Or in Washington, in their state house and Senate.
It's a long journey to the Capitol to become a bill.
It is, especially when you get two legs and no Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rivers couldn't resist the opportunity for a teaching moment. The result was State Bill 5816, Dave.
Cool.
Which recognizes Sasquatch's immeasurable contributions to Washington State's cultural heritage and ecosystem, and the importance of preserving the legacy of Sasquatch. When our two sons were little, they were fascinated with Sasquatch. The letter I received from my young constituent made it clear that children are still captivated by Sasquatch or Bigfoot, Rivers said in a release statement that was written with plenty of time on her hands. Why not encourage a young person who is engaged with his government and at the same time give some format recognition to this unique part of our state's folklore? Oh, by the way, I have a lot of time on my hands, she went on to say. I am certain that Sasquatch, the most eminent and recognizable cryptid in North America, is a native Washingtonian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have another hit, son.
Wow. I need another.
Pain pills is good, huh?
And being an official state symbol has to be a big step up from being in television commercials for beef jerky, she went on.
Beef jerky.
To add. You know what? There ain't nothing wrong with a little beef jerky, son.
That's right. Especially on a long, cold, lonely night.
That's right. A little jerky. A little jerky here, a little jerky there. Until
always
you're
always got to take it one step too far.
Until you're exhausted and need a nap. Where should we go from here?
I need to shower. I feel dirty being this close to you.
You know what?
What?
We should stick with government.
Okay.
Because we go from one government and a state senator.
Waiting to see where this drug-induced theory goes.
Okay. I'm trying to piece it all together in my mind slowly.
That. Okay, beautiful mind. Let's go.
We go from a senator to a mayor in Spain, evidently. Mm-hmm. A Spanish mayor has urged to call in an exorcist over a town hall haunting.
Mm.
Normally, it's just protesters that haunt the town halls.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's an actual demon.
Mm.
The mayor of a small town outside Granada, is facing calls to bring in an exorcist after workers became convinced that the council offices were haunted and the ghost was even caught on camera. A counselor was working late in the town hall at Vegas del, I believe that's Genil, on February 3rd when the air suddenly turned cold. It was unusually cold in the office, so I put on my coat and then I got up to go to the bathroom. The member of the council went on to say and wanted to remain anonymous, explained to local newspaper Ideal. That's when I heard a strange rustling sound in the hallway, like someone was dragging files across the floor. Fearful that he had disturbed burglars and not wanting to turn on the light, he took out his phone to call, initially with the intention of calling police, but he then decided to take a photo of the hallway to see if anyone was there. At first glance, the hallway appeared empty, so he returned to his office, where he examined the photograph again. Peering closer, he saw what had appeared to be a ghostly apparition of a child. The image put the counselor into a state of panic, and he locked himself in the office before sending the photograph to a WhatsApp group composed of the governing council. It's good to know the governing council is all on WhatsApp.
Mm.
You know, I mean, because they all got to have a way to communicate, evidently. A fellow counselor immediately went to the town hall to collect the shaken colleague and take him home. Leandro Martin, the mayor of the town with a population of 10,400.
That's Leandro.
Initially dismissed the whole thing as a joke, but the next day the other council staff started to complain about the inexplicable cold in that particular corridor. And a mechanic was even called in to check the heating and whether it was working correctly. Why a mechanic? Well, somebody also needed some car work done. See, normally you would call a heating and cooling guy, but they called a mechanic, and that's just the best I got. One of the counselors invited a local Reiki practitioner to carry out a cleansing session in the corridor, and she reported feeling a presence. The ghost story and accompanying photo was soon circulated across the town, sparking a host of rumors, including a fake news report that a little girl had died there years ago when the building was a school. The mayor said he has been inundated by requests from the residents to call in ghost hunters or a priest to conduct an exorcism, but he insists that earthly matters remain his priority. How can I justify hiring a medium when I have residents without electricity? And that's the name of that tune.
All right.
By the way, name that tune.
Tubular Bells.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. What else have you got?
Well, Dave, you know, most people go to Vegas to get the crab legs or the big buffets, or they like to eat rather than play the slots or gamble. In Peru, they got a heck of a thing on the buffet. They've got the alien claws and skulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a story. I'm reading this wrong.
Yeah,
Holy cow. Yeah, boy, I swung and missed big on that. Evidently, an explorer claims that alien claw and skull was found in a Peru tunnel. I'm sorry, I'm just a little parched and a little hungry right now. That's my deal. Pain meds, by the way. Self-proclaimed paranormal researchers say they have proof of an alien claw after discovering a three-fingered bone structure in the tunnels in Peru. The Institute Incari Cusco, a group of paranormal enthusiasts, said they also discovered a skull close to where they allegedly spotted the hand. And we're not talking about the ninja group that's hunting down Wolverine in the comics. Boy, there's an inside nerd joke for you. Did you like that one?
No, not at all.
All right. The claims have not yet to be verified, but the researchers said they found the bones while searching caves and tunnels across Cusco in January of 2016. French researcher and explorer Thierry Jamin, I'm not going to say his name was Jamin, but it looks like it. Oh, God, I'm making myself sick. Released the findings on his Facebook page on November 27th. He said researcher Dr. Edson Salazar Vivanco used x-rays and concluded that the mummified hand was 33 centimeters long, had three fingers and metallic implants. By the way, the name of my new album is Metallic Implants. According to some estimates of physicians, archaeologists, and anthropologists, this hand belonged to an individual whose size didn't matter, Mr. Trump. Don't worry about it. Don't feel threatened. Was maybe between 2.7 meters to 3 meters tall. Dr. Vivanco said, according to a Peruvian blog. I have to scroll down a little bit here. There we go. Dr. Vivanco claimed the claw and skull were genuine biological objects with real bone and skin tissue, and further testing was underway. The researchers will conduct further radiocarbon and DNA testing of the mysterious specimens in the U.S., in early 2017, and that's the name of that tune.
Really?
Yeah.
It is kind of cool looking. I mean, they're weird, whatever they are.
Yeah, they are.
Huh.
Although, if you ran across something like that, like in a Stand By Me situation, you and your buddies are, you know, walking around the railroad tracks, and all of a sudden you come across an alien hand like that, do you report it to anybody?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, George Norrie in Coast to Coast AM. And then I cash in, son.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right.
It's a good idea.
What's your next story for us?
Let's continue with the alien stuff.
Sure.
NASA has confirmed alien contact, according to this article.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
From itechpost.com.
That's news to me.
It's news to me, too. NASA's space probe Voyager 2 has recorded a bizarre message, reportedly from an alien contact while it was around 12 billion kilometers from Earth. The space probe sent the message to control center and baffled scientists because they could not understand the language. NASA reportedly investigated the possibility that someone had hacked the space probe from Earth, but the anomaly was never confirmed. Voyager 2 left Earth in 1977 to conduct a space probing mission. It is the only NASA spacecraft to have passed the regions of Uranus and Neptune.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It also has visited Jupiter and Saturn 33 years after its send-off and probing into space. Voyager 2 started sending strange data to mission control on Earth. The language was reportedly unknown and has never been decoded until this present day. At a distance of about 15 billion kilometers from Earth, the probe suddenly started sending data in a language which they never could understand, physics, astronomy, and NASA expert Kevin Baines went on to say. Since the news of an alleged alien contact started to surface, conspiracy theorists have feasted on information given by the NASA scientists. Interview with Kevin Baines regarding the alien message has since made the rounds on the internet, sparking online debates, according to The Express. According to Baines, something or someone had been able to change the communication system of the space probe Voyager 2. He further elaborated that a subsequent analysis of the recorded message found that a component in a binary code system was changed from 0 to 1. He adds that the Voyager team's assessment reported having found no defect in the communication system, sparking more questions as to how the binary code was altered. German academic Hartwig Hausdorff, I believe you have most of his albums, Dan.
Hartwig Hausdorff?
Yes. He's great on the flute.
He had the big hit, get to the chopper!
Yes, it's the only way out. Believes the communication system of the Voyager was taken over by extraterrestrial life.
This guy's on the same stuff you are.
Yeah, well, we have been sharing a prescription. He says in a German newspaper that it seems as if someone has reprogrammed or hijacked the probe. But that we will never really know the truth. We never really do, Dave. NASA revealed the information about the alien in 2010, and since then, conspiracy theorists have accused the space agency of a cover-up. Mm. That, according to Hartwig Hausdorff.
It's the coolest name ever.
It is.
Trust me, my name is Hartwig Hausdorff. Have I ever lied to you before?
That voice fits so many different characters, Tim.
I would love to form like a jazz trio, like the Hartwig Hausdorff trio.
Would you?
Yeah, like heavy metal pan flute.
I think they tried that. It was called Jethro Tull.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Oh, God, were they terrible.
All right, let's take a break. We've got more supernatural news and some Parashare coming your way right after this.
Beyond the darkness.
We're back. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave. That's Tim. Well, a version of Tim. A very high, strange version of Tim tonight as we deal with supernatural news and Parashare stories from around the world. Mr. Dennis, where shall we go next in the world of supernatural news?
We're visiting a haunted hotel.
All right. Where is this haunted hotel?
The Shanley Hotel, Dave.
Ah, yes. The Shanley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Evidently so haunted, Dave. So haunted.
Yes. How haunted is it, Tim?
You're required to sign a waiver.
Really?
Yep.
That seems pretty haunted.
That's according to this story right here. Haunted hotels have a way of making people nervous, and this Shanley Hotel is no different. The Shanley Hotel has built a reputation as the most haunted hotel on the East Coast, requiring guests to sign a waiver if they wish to stay. It's located in the quiet town of, is it Napanock?
I believe so.
Yeah, New York. The hotel sits at the center of the, is it Shawgunk Mountains, Dave? I've never been there.
I don't know, me either.
Okay. In addition to its 35 rooms, the hotel has a hidden chamber located in the basement. Don't we all, though, if you think about it, especially after a fine
just
meal
get
of Mexican
to the story.
Food.
Just get to
it's
the story.
The most notable feature, however, stands to be the number of paranormal phenomena reported on the property. A lot of people seem to think the backstory of the hotel may have to do with the reported supernatural occurrences. Since the hotel was built in 1985, the original owner's 3 newborn infants died, and an on-site barber's child died after falling into a well. According to the report, the supernatural activity has since been reported in every corner of the hotel. There's even a section of the property that once belonged to a speakeasy and brothel during the Prohibition era, and what many claim remains to be the most haunted. To date, there have been several other deaths that have followed that tragedy, some accidental, others by murder, and many people have been reported missing. Paranormal investigators have also reportedly confirmed that there is funny activity going on in bordello or brothel. Their guests have been said to have experienced shortness of breath and extreme shifts in emotion from joy to sadness upon entering the area. Other bizarre reports were also made surrounding the Shanley Hotel, such as footsteps from which people believe are made from the original owner, James Shanley, and whistles, sounds of non-visible children laughing, and objects moving by themselves. Of course, you can just hit the old internet and look up Shanley Hotel if you'd like to book the Shanley for your own paranormal investigation. So there you go.
All right. Anything else going on in the world of supernatural?
Oh, of course. Let's see here. Let me see. The weird conspiracy nut in me wants to talk about microchipping, but let's instead talk about resurrection, Dave. Resurrection, if you will, of an extinct species gone long, long ago that just may be making a comeback, like LL Cool J. I mean, did LL Cool J really ever go away, if you think about it?
Would you just read this story?
The woolly mammoth, Dave, is on the verge of resurrection.
Yeah.
At least, why would we bring this thing back?
Woolly mammoth forever. Why? Because it's a cool piece of history. Why wouldn't we bring it back? Haven't we learned from Jurassic Park how much fun it would be to bring back extinct animals?
No.
Yes.
It's going to kill us.
It's a hairy elephant, Tim. I think we can handle it.
With tusks the size of, I don't know, a roller coaster.
So are most elephants, Tim. They shore them down.
They don't have tusks the size of a... You go around shaving down tusks. Who has that job?
Quite a few people.
Really?
Yeah. That's why they keep them safe, so you're not getting gored
by
them.
That's got to be the most dangerous job in the world.
No, brushing great white teeth, I think.
Here, Mbutu, here's a saber. Go shave some tusks.
Good God.
We'll pay you 14 cents an hour. That's not how it works. Scientists leading de-extinction efforts say a Harvard team could create hybrid mammoth elephant embryo in 2 years. They should be rightfully fired.
Okay.
The woolly mammoth vanished from the earth 4,000 years ago, but now scientists say they are on the brink of resurrecting the ancient beast in a revised form through an ambitious feat of genetic engineering. Speaking ahead of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, Dave, guess what the abbreviation is, Dave?
What?
Dave, guess what it is, Dave?
What?
Ass. At the ASS annual meeting in Boston this week, Dave.
You people, I want you to remember this. You wanted more supernatural news in Parashare. This is on you.
The scientists leading the de-extinction effort said that the Harvard team is just 2 years away from creating a hybrid embryo in which mammoth traits would be programmed into an Asian elephant. Our aim is to produce a hybrid elephant mammoth embryo in which if you crack the egg into a pan would be delicious, said Professor George Church. I'm kidding. Actually, it would be
just continues on. He's insane, folks.
Actually, it would be more like an elephant with a number of mammoth traits.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there yet, but it could happen in a couple of years. The creature sometimes referred to as a mammophant. I didn't make that up. That's what they're calling
a mammophant.
Mammophant.
Okay.
Mammophant. It sounds like a scat that they would do in some sort of music.
Mm-hmm.
Would be partly elephant, but with features such as small ears, subcutaneous fat, long shaggy hair, and cold-adapted blood, could look like one of my cousins at a family reunion. The mammoth genes for these traits are spliced into the elephant DNA using the powerful gene editing tool CRISPR, which you can find online right now for $2.99 in the Google Play Store.
That is not true.
Well, okay. I made that last part up.
You've made a lot of it up.
No, everything after CRISPR is why I made that up.
Mm-hmm.
Until now, the team have stopped at the cell stage, but are now moving towards creating embryos, although they said it would be many years before any serious attempt at producing a living creature. We're working on ways to evaluate the impact of all these edits and basically trying to establish embryogenesis in the lab, said Church. Since starting the project in 2015, the researchers have increased the number of edits where mammoth DNA have been spliced into the elephant genome from 15 to 45. Wow. They're cutting it down, so to speak. We already know about ones to do with small ears, subcutaneous fat, hair, and blood, but there are others that seem to be positively selected, he said. Church said that these modifications could help preserve the Asian elephant, which is endangered in an altered form. However, others have raised ethical concerns about the project. Matthew Cobb, professor of zoology at the University of Manchester, said the proposed de-extinction of mammoths raises a massive ethical issue. The mammoth was not simply a set of genes. It was a social animal. It loved its tea, and of course, it liked a nice ice cream every once in a while. It was social. As is the modern Asian elephant, what will happen when the elephant-mammoth hybrid is born? How will it be greeted by elephants? Probably with a, "How you doing?" Because That's how elephants greet each other, dude.
Oh, my God. I'm taking control of the microphone, right, Tim.
Church also outlined plans to grow the hybrid animal with an artificial womb rather than recruit a female animal as a surrogate mother, a plan which some believe will not be achievable within the next decade.
I've been hearing about this. We've been hearing about this for over a decade of them cloning and rebirthing a mammoth. What is taking so long? If they can clone sheep and dogs and other animals, what's taking so long with doing a mammoth? It's a hairy elephant. You've got the DNA. Why are they not just injecting it in the embryo, implanting it in an elephant and seeing what happens?
Well, it's getting the elephant to warm up to it, Dave, I guess. You know, they don't respond well to Barry White. And it takes a whole lot of wine. Whole lot of wine. We hope to do the entire procedure ex vivo, outside a living body. He said it would be unreasonable to put a female reproduction at risk in an endangered species. That's their whole excuse.
Hmm.
He added that his lab is already capable of growing a mouse embryo in an artificial womb for 10 days, halfway through its gestation period. We're testing the growth of mice ex vivo. There are experiments in the literature from the 1980s, but there hasn't been much interest for a while, he said. Today, we've got a whole new set of technology, and we're taking a fresh look at it. Church's team is proposing to rear the embryo in an artificial womb, which seems ambitious, to say the least. The resultant animal would have been deprived of all the pre-birth interactions with its mother, said Cobb. The woolly mammoth roamed across Europe, Asia, Africa, and North America during the last ice age and vanished about 4,000 years ago, probably due to a combination of climate change and hunting by humans. Closest relative, Dave, is the Asian, not the African elephant, as some people may be mistaken.
All right. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, implants. You were talking about chipping people.
Chipping people.
This is part of your fear. This is leading into Skynet stuff.
Skynet stuff.
So let's do that. Then we've got some Parashare. We're going to share some stories from around the world from our listeners who've been writing in. And you can send your stories to me at dave@darknessradio.com. But before we do that, let's buy into more creepy conspiratorial ideas and talk about microchipping humans.
We go to Carson City, where State Senator Becky Harris said a bill to prohibit forced microchipping of people is not as far-fetched as it might seem, because it happens in some places around the world already. You could be next. Senate Bill 109 would make it a Class C felony to require someone to be implanted with a radio frequency identifier, such as microchips placed in pets. The idea for the bill came from a constituent, according to the Las Vegas Republican. As I began to look into the issue, I was surprised with the merit that I believe the issue warrants, Harris told the Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday. She said sales of radio frequency identifiers are escalating around the world, and a company in Australia, as of June 2016, sold more than 10,000 implantable chips with do-it-yourself kits. Why would you put your own chip in?
I have no problem with this. If it's one less thing that I have to carry and I can do my banking with it and I can do my medical transcription with it and I can whatever, beep, beep me, man. Beep.
And put the mark of the beast in yourself.
It's not the mark of the beast.
And then
no,
Satan can
there is
take
no mark
over.
Of the beast. We know that this in biblical literature was just the way that they were referring to Nero in code to try and keep themselves safe while sharing information. There is no number of the beast.
I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah.
All right.
Each kit costs about $100 and includes a tag and an injection tool, Harris said. The Wall Street Journal has reported an estimated 30,000 to 50,000 chips have been sold globally. Harris said the technology is used by companies in Belgium and Sweden to identify employees. That's creepy. No way I'm doing it for an employer. Nuh-uh. No way. Mm-mm. You're not following me, big brother Satan. It's done under the idea to unlock doors and use copy machines or maybe pay for lunch. You could use your hand. I'll let you use your own hand, buddy. Besides privacy concerns, Harris said the concept raises ethical questions such as who owns the chip or the information contained on it and how does someone get de-chipped if they're no longer employed by the company that required it. She also wondered if a chip could be hacked to harass or stalk someone. Think about that. Harris said if the Nevada bill is modeled after legislation passed by at least 10 other states It wouldn't prohibit the voluntary decision of a person to be microchipped, she said, adding that a nightclub in Europe offers microchipping to customers so the establishment can provide tailored service. There was no total opposition to the bill, though some witnesses said the technology could help patients with dementia. Some Alzheimer's patients wander away, said Jonathan Friedrich of Las Vegas, adding the technology could be used to help find them quickly.
And missing children. I think you could use it for that, pinging them, helping to find them, bring them home. I'm all for it. Chip me, baby. Chip me. Which, I don't want to get lost. I'm heading to dementia real soon.
Which could be hacked by a pedophile to track your child and follow
whatever.
Them.
Only if they know that that's a child's number.
Which they could try to fish them online, so get their number, and then follow them. State Senator Don Gustafson questioned whether military pilots are microchipped so rescuers can find them if aircraft crash or are shot down. Harris said she would check with military officials. No action was taken on the bill by the committee. So there you go.
Hmm. All right. That's it.
For chipping, just another action by Big Brother.
We might be back with more Parashare and Supernatural news next week. I'm not sure. Right now, though, let's dig into the web mail, and we'll start talking about Parashare, ladies and gentlemen, because you wanted it, because you demanded it, and, well, because I got to stop him from talking because he's legally insane and drunk and stoned at this time. Here it is, folks, Parashare. All right. This first email up here says, "Hi, Dave and Tim. I love your podcast, and I listen to it daily. My story is a little bit longer. It begins about 13 years ago. I traveled to Iowa to learn a meditation technique. This was a 5-day trip, and I was accompanied by my roommates at the time. We had our first evening of registration and lessons. Then we went back to our individual rooms. When I got back to mine, I decided to do some reading before I called it a night. I was upright, very awake, and suddenly I felt a strange energy in the room. Moments later, I was suddenly pinned down, unable to move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. It was incredibly strong and incredibly forceful. Crazy as it sounds, it felt as though whatever this was trying to enter my body through my ears. I was trying with all of my physical and mental might to prevent it from getting into my body. Now, I am familiar with that sleep paralysis, but this was something completely different. I was nowhere near asleep, and I knew that whatever was on top of me was trying to enter my body with force. I struggled with whatever it was for what seemed like decades, but I'm sure it was no more than just a matter of a few seconds. Suddenly, my phone lit up. It was my mother calling, and whatever it was, let go. I had been trying so hard to fight it off, even just move, that I immediately fell off the bed and onto the floor. I couldn't believe what had just occurred and was in so much shock, I couldn't even answer the phone. I ended up staying up the entire night." Well, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
To be awake and then be forced into a submissive paralyzation and then feel like it's trying to enter you through your ears.
That pretty much describes country radio in Iowa. I've been there. I've done that. I served the time.
I would be sleeping with headphones on and a nylon over my head. That keeps the bugs from crawling up your nose, by the way.
Yeah.
And the nylon would hold the headphones in place so that no demon would try to get in.
Oh.
That's creepy. All right, here it goes. A continuation of this email. I don't know that I want to read more, to be honest with you. I had no additional experiences until we arrived home. The day after I got back, my roommate was at work and I decided to clean the house. I was vacuuming and I suddenly heard a loud noise. I turned off the vacuum only to find that the stereo in our apartment had turned on full blast, skipping on some loud screeching numbers. And the numbers on the radio, Tim?
Yes.
They read 666.
Well, that's not good. No. That's never a good sign.
I turned off my radio and heard another noise from the back of the apartment. The water was running full blast in the back bathroom. Now, this was a faucet that you had to actually turn the handles to turn on. I had friends that asked if my dogs could have turned the water on, but when I showed them the handles, they realized it was impossible for them to turn on without hands. Hence the term handles, Tim, not puddles.
Oh, I love jumping in puddles.
No, no, that's
especially
puddles.
When I had two legs.
That's puddles, Tim.
Oh.
Puddles, Tim. Puddles. See what I did there? Paws.
Oh, puddles.
Handles, pot. Yeah. Whatever. Anywho, I was creeped out but decided to ignore what had happened. After this, my TV, VCR, DVD player, and radio would flip on and off randomly as I walked into the living room. I chalked it up as electrical problems. Remember when we used to live together and you'd walk in the living room and I'd flip you on and flip you off all the time?
Probably because I was late with my rent a lot.
That didn't seem like paranormal at the time, though. No. Until one occasion, I was having a really hard time falling asleep. Laying in bed, I reached over to get a drink of water from the cup on my bedstand and laid back down and closed my eyes. Only it was like my eyelids were invisible. I knew they were closed, but I could see everything in my room, including a figure I had not seen when my eyes were opened. Tim, that's just like my experience when I went in to have my gallbladder removed.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
I could see when you guys were in the room, mm-hmm. my eyes were open. I could see you all there. I would close my eyes. I could continue to see the room, but none of you were there, but it was filled with other entities. One of the most freaky experiences in my life.
Yeah.
Hands down. Absolutely weird. There in the corner was a figure crouching. Oh, it's never good when they're crouching, Tim.
No.
Why can't they just stand up? It seemed to have male features. He had almost bleach white skin, no hair, and what appeared to be two small horns on his head. Just crouching there, staring at me with this god-awful, menacing scowl. It's suddenly, what would you be more freaked out by? This pale white, creepy, male-looking figure that's bald with horns sitting in the corner giving you a scowl? Or if it just sat there with this, you know, creepy, bent-over look with, like, a smile on its face? I would think, oh, you're kind of pleasant. No, the smiles would creep me out even more.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. A bent-over, scowly-looking thing, I'd take that over the... I just picture, like, that menacing, demonic grin smile thing. Blah. No, thanks.
At least the smile would make me think maybe he's going to sell me Avon.
Avon? What the hell century do you live in?
Well, or maybe he's part of the community welcome wagon.
Could be.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets worse, Tim. It gets worse. It was all balled up there, just crouching there, staring at me with this god-awful menacing scowl, and it suddenly came running at me full speed. I opened my eyes, bolted upright, but it was gone. That was the scariest experience in that house by far. I tried to convince myself that I had been falling asleep or half-sleep hallucinating, but I finally had to accept that this is what really happened. Now, not long after that, I moved into my second home. My new roommates were home for the summer, so I was moving everything in by myself and asked a few guy friends to help me. We set up a pallet on the floor and put on a movie, and I turned off my phone so that it wouldn't ring. We were watching White Noise with Michael Keaton. There's this point in the movie when his cell phone lights up, and it says that his deceased wife is calling. When my phone lit up, it was still powered off, and it said home was calling. Ooh, this is just like last week's Theater of the Mind.
Yeah.
That creepy guy dealing with the mannequin and the...
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I still have nightmares. Thinking about that story and then having to read it a couple times over and then record that story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a lot of... tonight.
I see that. Yeah,
yeah, it gets under my skin once in a while.
Well, anyway. Maybe it was E.T. that was calling her.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
She answered, and it was the noise of a fax machine. And instantly, the wall unit AC started shooting ice out of it. I'm not just talking about dropping ice. It literally started projectile shooting this ice out of a window unit. My two guy friends and myself were completely freaked out.
No, say I wouldn't be.
No, neither would I. As a matter of fact, I demand my air conditioners to blast me with ice.
See, at that point, you take lemons, you make lemonade. What you do is you go and you get your sodas and you go and you fill it up with the ice.
Oh, I thought you were going to go slushy.
Oh, that's even better. Go get yourself some syrup.
That's right.
Yeah.
While I lived in that house, the TV and DVD player would flip on and off whenever I walked in a room. I was beginning to believe that something paranormal was occurring. Oh, now just beginning. Just this.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what
well,
started her beginning to believe that something paranormal was occurring. I went to visit my brother in Colorado with my parents, sister and brother-in-law. The second morning, my sister asked what I was doing up so late. And I asked what she was talking about. She said she saw my light on when she got up in the middle of the night to use the restaurant. A restroom, not restaurant, Tim.
I get up in the middle of the night to use a restaurant.
You do. I started telling her and my brother-in-law about my experiences and why I sleep with the light on. About a minute in, the TV flips on. I look at both of them and said, ha ha, very funny, guys. And they both swore they didn't do it. They thought I was messing with them. We looked around and saw the remote was across the room. Then the TV flipped off, then back on. And my brother-in-law went white. He said he'd never be alone in a room with me again. Now, this was all pretty minor, minus being pinned down by the creature in my room. Those were absolutely terrifying, but I couldn't really prove that these things had happened. When I got home from Colorado, I was over at my then boyfriend's house studying and started telling him about what happened in Colorado. He, of course, was very skeptical of my stories, and he said jokingly, "If something's following Melissa, knock on the wall." A few moments passed, and then we heard what sounded like pounding on the wall. It started on one wall, then would move to another, rotated on several different walls throughout the house for a solid 5 minutes. I get a text from my roommate asking what the hell my boyfriend and I are doing in my room. And I told her that I wasn't even there, that we were at his house. She responded with, "Weird, it sounds like you guys are pounding on the walls down there." She lived in the room right above mine. At that moment, I asked my boyfriend, "You believe me now?" and walked into the living room and sat down on the couch. The front door handle started jiggling, and at the same moment, both the front door and screen door flew open in opposite directions, Tim. Opposite directions, Tim! I don't know if you're paying close enough attention, but I thought you should hear that part twice.
Well, I am paying attention.
My boyfriend never doubted me again after that. Now, throughout the 2 years at my last residence, I would often be awoken to what sounded like something whispering my name right in my ear.
Melissa.
I had a male roommate and two female roommates for a time in that house. One night, one of my roommates, who is still one of my best friends, and I had gone to see The Conjuring. Well, technically, I dragged her out because she hates movie theaters. When we got back to the house, we could not get the front door open. Our other roommates in the house kept trying to open the door from the inside, and they could not open the door either. Same thing happened when we went to the side door. Oh, God. We went back to the front door, and once again, both the screen door and the front door flew open simultaneously. We inspected the doors, and there was nothing to obstruct the doors. No loose screws, no nails sticking out, literally no reason for them to be jammed. About an hour later, I was in the living room with my male roommate, and we saw a chair go flying across our front porch. We both just kind of looked at each other, and I went outside to replace the chair and look around. There was no one outside, and it was not even remotely windy. When I came back inside, I began telling him about some of the experiences I had had over the years. He started kind of freaking out, saying that I should have told him that before he moved in. And the chair goes flying across the porch again, like full on off the ground, flying across the porch with force. I went outside and replaced it once again in front of the window we were sitting next to. And my roommate said, "If that chair flies again, I'm moving out." Sure enough, it went flying about 10 minutes later, right in front of us. There was definitely no one there to throw it as we watched it right in front of us. He moved out shortly thereafter. I would have burned the house to the ground, Tim. Burn it to the ground. Now, occasionally, some of the random things that occurred would be innocent seeming enough, like a tennis ball being thrown. I had a very large dog that was obsessed with tennis balls, or something that felt as though it was guiding me in a certain direction. One such instance was when I had a very weird feeling and my dog was acting peculiar. So I decided to sleep in the living room with the front door open and the screen door closed. Turned out we had a massive carbon monoxide leak in the house, and it would have killed us if the fresh air had not been coming in that night. When I moved away from that state, Kansas, back to Oklahoma, all of my experiences ceased. I have no explanation for what was happening while I was in college, though I must say that even though I definitely felt like there was a malevolent presence following me from house to house, I also feel as though there was a benevolent one as well. Something to me that feels very strongly that the benevolent spirit was my grandmother protecting me. But of course, I'll never know. I've told some of my closest friends my story, but never shared it publicly. I hope you guys enjoy my story and keep on killing it with your podcast. Cordially, Melissa. They start whispering in your ear.
Yeah.
Time to move.
It was either grandma or one of the Allman Brothers.
That's why is that a song by the Allman Brothers?
Yeah,
you have Melissa. The most obscure references ever created.
Melissa was a huge hit for the Allman Brothers
in 1961. Tim, nobody remembers that 70s. Anymore. Our 70s. Listeners are a progressive, upbeat. They're hip cats, as we say nowadays. Tim, they're jive cats. And
all right, I want a flood of emails telling Dave that Melissa by the Allman Brothers is not obscure.
It's obscure, Tim.
It's not obscure.
Yeah. All right. First off, I would like to thank you for taking the time to read my story. I came across this inquiry via Zach Bagans' Twitter account. I would like to state before I begin that I have numerous stories about the entity that decided to attach itself to me for about 10 years. Many of my stories are of small occurrences, but I would like to mention to you some of the main ones that have happened to me. I have since been cleansed of this entity, and as of February 2016, I seem to be clear. It wasn't as if I had randomly noticed that I had something attached to me. It all began when I was in high school, Tim. That's the sound of going back to high school time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was the sound of screaming.
No.
Okay.
It all began when I was in high school, and I made such the smart decision to play with an Ouija board, Tim.
Oh, boy.
That's right, a Ouija board. A friend of mine at the time had just recently moved out of their home, so we thought it would be the perfect place to conduct a Ouija board session. The home was old, and according to my friend, it was haunted, which made it even better. I don't remember all the questions that were asked, but I do remember that the more we played, the more sinister the answer we received. We were sitting around the board with candles lit around us. This is the moment I do remember vividly. I asked the board if the presence we were speaking to was demonic. And of course it answered, yes. Imagine if a Ouija board spoke like that. Yes.
Like the villain from Inspector Gadget?
I'll get you next time, Gadget. With a claw. As we talked about that earlier, I wonder if that's what they found in that cave. It was the claw's skull and its claw, Tim.
Right.
Go, go, go. Your eyes look whacked right now. Are you high?
No.
How high are you on pain meds? You are terrifyingly weird looking right now.
Why?
Dude, you've just got this, like your eyes are like, ding. People, help me.
No, I'm.
Send help.
I'm absolutely fine.
Are you sure?
I'm a little tired, but I'm all
right. I'm very tired. It's been a long day.
No, I'm fine.
I just think you had this weird Cheshire cat smile and these, don't do that again. Dude, I'm reading creepy stories. I look over and you've got this. Yeah, dude, that's freaky. Your eyes look absolutely weird.
It's the new teeth is what it is.
What the hell does your teeth have to do with your eyes?
Because they make the eyes look weird. It reframes my face different.
Oh, it does it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Stop it. All right, that looks creepy. Holy joker, knock it the hell off. I got to sleep tonight. All right, anyway, let's go back to the Ouija board story. I got to shake off. No wonder I keep getting the shudders. You're over there all jokering behind my back. All right, let's start up this deal again. It wasn't as if it was randomly noticed that I had something attached to me. It all began when I was in high school, and I made such a smart decision to play with a Ouija board. A friend at that time had recently moved out of her home, so we thought it would be a perfect place to conduct a Ouija board session. The home was old, and according to my friend, it was haunted, which made it even better. I don't remember all the questions that were asked, but I do recall that the more we played, the more sinister the answer we received. We were sitting around the board with candles lit all around us, and the moment I do remember vividly, I asked the board if the presence we were speaking to was demonic, and it answered, yes, Gadget. As soon as the pointer hit the yes on the board, the candles to my left intensified and went completely out. This freaked me the F out as I looked out at my friends and around the house, demanding to know who was playing a prank on me. My friends were just as scared as I was and just sat there with their mouths open. I began to look over my shoulder because I felt myself being watched. I looked over in the direction of the kitchen and I saw an immense dark figure looking back at me. That was it for me. I ran out of the house right at that moment. Foolishly enough, I did not close my session with the board, Tim.
Uh-oh.
I was 14 at the time, and soon the night playing with the board was long forgotten. Throughout my high school years, I had numerous small occasions that happened to me. Now that I look back at it, it's crazy to think I had dismissed all those occurrences so easily. At the age of 17, on a Wednesday night at 10:32 p.m. Wow, this person is very specific.
Would you
stop with the eyes already, for God's sakes? I got to take a picture and post it. Dude, you are creeping me out. Anyway, at the age of 17 on Wednesday night at 10:32 p.m., why not just 10:30? Why don't you round it off?
Yeah.
Is another moment that I'll never forget. Many tried to pass this off as sleep paralysis, but I know that it was not. I've also had a medium confirm this occurrence that I had, but we'll get to that later. I was laying in bed texting when I felt someone sit on my left foot. I confused. I tried to lift my head to see what it was. And to my shock, when I left my head, it was violently thrown down and held, causing me to have difficulties breathing. I began fighting and praying for my life. Never in my life have I prayed so hard. Slowly, the pressure on my head was fading as I began to lift my head. I was finally able to sit up, but there was something sitting on my leg. It was a dark hooded figure hunched over. I stared at it, unable to believe what I was witnessing. The thing began to turn its head to look at me, and the face still haunts me to this day. I came face to face with deep, deep red eyes, and then it began to slowly smile at me. Oh, that's the look. Knock it off. The smile stretched across its face so unnaturally and hideous that fear overcame me. It just sat there smiling at me and laughing. I don't remember how I remembered that in a strong voice I said, "In the name of God, I command you to leave." And just like that, it was gone.
All right.
The thing disappeared right before my eyes. I felt so much relief that I began to cry and ran to my parents' room and slept in there, too afraid to be in my room. In my childhood home, I have many occurrences that have happened, but I'm going to jump forward a few years. I had just come back from Colorado and was returning home from watching my sister's performance. I walked in slowly behind my sister, who had rushed off to the bathroom. As soon as I stepped into the house, I felt that something wasn't right. I looked up, and right before my eyes, this creature appeared and ran at me to attack me. All I could think of at the time was how I needed to defend myself. And am I really going to kick this demon? But as soon as the creature ran up to my face and I was bracing myself, it disappeared. All I could think was, what the hell just happened? My mind was still processing it, and my body reacted. I ran out of that house, almost knocking over my dad, who was just about to walk in. In tears, I told him what I had saw and what had happened. I'm very fortunate to have parents that believe in me and what was happening, since they were also going through this, as I was. When my dad and I entered the house, all you could sense was evil, Tim. It was terrifying to be in my house at the moment. My dad quickly called a bishop to come and bless the house, and when he arrived, I noticed that it was instantly angered that he was there, which is completely, I was instantly angered that he was there, which is completely out of character for me. I have grown up knowing this bishop, and I have no hate for him, but at the moment, I wanted him out of there and not to perform the blessing, but I sat there fighting myself as he conducted the blessing. It wasn't until the blessing was complete that I was finally able to approach the bishop and thank him. Since that day forward, more and more frequent events began to happen. I still, to this day, remember the demonic and what its face and creature looks like. I'm once again jumping ahead in my story to try and keep this as short as possible for you. I was living in Vineyard, Utah in 2016. I had two roommates in my townhouse who can account to you what I'm going to tell you, Tim.
That's all right.
And be witness to many more things that happen. At this time, the things that were happening were every day. Loud bangs, footsteps up and down stairs, doors being opened, voices being heard, shadow figures being seen. It had all gotten so bad that my roommates and I needed help ASAP. We got in contact with the local LDS church to come and conduct a blessing. This just angered the spirit more. My roommate Hannah and I tried to cleanse the house ourselves. This angered the spirit even more. Finally, I got in contact with a paranormal group, Badass Spirit Outlaws, with the help of Jennifer. They were there the next day to help. From the start, as soon as Jennifer saw me, she said that she knew that the entity was attached to me, not the house, but to me. So she wanted to do a cleanse on me ASAP. I invited her in with the team, and they quickly got to work. Jennifer was the medium who, so we just started talking. Once again, something within me was angered and I wanted her out of my house, but I also knew that I needed her help. Per my roommate and Jennifer's team, they stated that my whole demeanor had changed. They were afraid that I was going to lunge and attack the woman that was going to conduct the cleansing, but I was fighting myself the whole time. They began to do a cleanse on me to break the hold the entity had on me. They began to spray me with holy water and sage, and I felt as if my skin was on fire during this, but I knew that I needed this. At the time I was getting my first cleanse, Jennifer stated that the entity was laughing. We began to cleanse the house, and the more we got closer to being finished, the more angered the entity became. We even heard it yell, "No!" to my roommate, Anna. The cleansing was having such an effect on me that I broke out in a sweat. I threw up, but Jennifer encouraged me to finish. This night had a lot of crazy events happening. Since that night, I felt as if a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I didn't even know that I was carrying around this weight of this entity. I'm still afraid that this entity will find me again and perhaps attach itself. But Jennifer states that it won't happen. I could tell you many, many more stories that all tie into this entity. Thank you for listening. I'm so sorry that it was long. I try to keep the stories to a minimal. Best regards, Teresa. Well, that's creepy, Teresa. That's some scary stuff there.
Very interesting, though.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
You. That creepy look. Knock it off.
What? All I did was smile.
No. Hi, Dave. See, even that letter, when the creature starts smiling, nope, time to go. Hi, Dave and Tim, my darkness Hi. Duo. This is Pam, once again from the USS Hornet. But this time will not be regarding the ship, but another haunt I know that you're very familiar with. My paranormal team, Pacific Coast Spirit Watch, investigates throughout California, Oregon, and Nevada. These stories happened at the Knights of Pythias building and the Washoe Club in Virginia City, Nevada. My husband came along on this trip, a true skeptic. I knew this was going to be fun. Robert is a former Marine who served in Vietnam. To say that he doesn't get rattled would be an understatement. Robert was Force Recon, and during his last tour, he was wounded by 3 hand grenades during a running firefight. He was wounded in both legs, both arms, and had a plate in his head. But don't let that fool you. To look and talk to him, he shows no visible signs of his injuries. Robert was part of an 8-member team, and he is the only remaining member who survived. One shot himself, one walked into the China Sea, one drove his motorcycle into a wall, and the remaining died of complications from Agent Orange. Well, first of all, please tell your husband thank you for serving and that we are glad that he is still with us among the living. I give you this history to give you context to the story that follows. I have finally convinced Robert to come along on one of our Virginia City weekends. Earlier in the day, we had visited the Knights of Pythias. That just sounds, we're the Knights of Pythias. Why are you so pithy? Because we're the Knights of Pythias. What else should we be? All right. I could be wrong. That's just the way I saw it. Earlier on in the day, we had visited the Knights of Pythias, which had been sold at the time and was scheduled to be a wine tasting room. Oh. I rest my case. What else would the Knights of Pythias turn into but a wine tasting room, Tim?
But of course.
They'd been sold to turn into a wine tasting room. One of our team members, Jackie Kleeb, obtained the key and went to do some recon. A beautiful old building built with stucco and cast iron.
Nice.
Downstairs, there were storage and an old bar, but upstairs was a beautiful cherry wood bar with gold-veined mirrors behind. We walked throughout and admired as we went. We took pictures of everything, the room, the mirror, and the bar, including the top. It was obvious that no one had been there for quite a while. There were a couple of old bills lying on the bar covered in layers of dust that hadn't been disturbed for a very long time. I walked from room to room until I had the opportunity to enter a large kitchen. Standing there, I imagined that I could do with all of this space. I love to cook, and this would have been a dream for me. Robert called out, and I returned to the great room. In the center was a space, maybe 4 feet by 4 feet, covered by linoleum or tile. We surmised that this must be where they held their ceremonies. Maybe this is where the Grand Master, or the head of the group, sat. Against my husband's wishes, I decided to call out the spirits. After all, it was during the day. I started tap dancing on the spot. "I hear you don't like women in your space," I said. "Well, here I am. What are you going to do about it?" Robert was not too happy with me at this point and asked me to stop. Nothing happened, so we locked the door and left, looking forward to returning later that night.
Well, we're the ghosts of Pythias. We're going to poke you and prod you.
What is the Knights of Pythias? Is that any kind of Masonic thing?
The Knights of Pythias?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know.
Not that you're familiar with? Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. You're kind of my go-to for secret societies.
Although
you like to read all those books.
If they didn't like women there, I doubt they didn't appreciate her being there.
No, probably not. Yeah. After dark, we returned with the group to start our investigation. We split into several groups and started. I had my camera and digital recorder as I walked throughout the building. I headed toward the kitchen area and started my own EVP session. This is a lovely kitchen. Are we having a party? Am I invited? I moved on to the bar area. Just then, Robert called everyone to the bar. Written in the dust were the words, "Get out." These words were not there earlier. We had all examined the bar and would have noticed them. Even more concerning was that the words were written in the dust but had not been pressed all the way to the wood. If someone flesh and blood, not something, were trying to scare us or get our attention, it would have been difficult, if not impossible, to press all the way down through the layers of dust to get to the wood. We took pictures of the area so that we could compare them to pictures taken earlier in the day. Then something happened that sent shivers down our spine, a growl, audible to all in the room, guttural and loud. And at that point, Robert said to the group, "Someone doesn't want us here. Time to go." And that's just what we did. Later, while reviewing my EVP sessions, I heard the following, the answer to my question in the kitchen area. "This is a lovely kitchen. Are we having a party? Am I invited?" The answer on the recorder was a male, clear and direct, "Not you." Story 2 takes place in the Washoe Club. Once we had left the Knights of Pythias building, we moved to the Washoe Club for our overnight investigation. The Washoe Club is also known as the Millionaires Club, an exclusive haunt of the Silver Barons of the Sierras. The likes of Ulysses S. Grant, General Robert Sherman, and Mark Twain were some of the members. It also was the current residence of some interesting and not always welcoming entities. I know that you have visited the Washoe Club and are familiar with how it's laid out. On the second floor and third floors are many rooms and hallways. Each room is connected to a hall and to other rooms as well. Robert and I had stationed ourselves in adjoining rooms. We each sat on folding chairs side by side looking toward the main hallway that leads to the ballroom. We sat there for quite a while when Robert started acting a little strange. "Did you see them?" he asked. "No, I didn't see a thing. I thought that would be the end of it, but it wasn't." He stood up and started walking from room to room. "Where are you? Why are you here?" Stress was in his voice. I was beginning to get concerned. As I said before, Robert doesn't get rattled. He is the most level-headed person I know, and an overactive imagination is not something he has. I followed him from room to room as he searched for what he saw. Finally, we came across some of our team, Tammy and Warren. They could see that Robert was shook. They asked what was wrong. "Did you see anything?" he asked. "No," was their reply. We asked if they smelled anything strange. "Yes," they said. "We smelled something damp and sweaty, like somewhere very humid with a body odor. The jungle," Robert replied. It should be noted that this was the beginning of April, and it was literally below freezing at the time. I got Robert to sit down, and finally he told me what happened. As he was sitting in the chair watching the hallway, he saw something from his distant past, a group of seven men walking in formation of two across down the hallway with one man missing. It was his team walking as they always did when they were going to their next orders. Everyone was there but him. What had shaken him was why they were there. Were they coming to get the last member of the team? As we sat there, it came to me why they were there. The Washoe Club has been known for some less than pleasant spirits. As they did in life, they're doing now. They were protecting him. They had his back in life and now in death. The epilogue, that isn't the end of these stories. When we take Robert on investigations, if he's in the room, nothing will happen. But the minute he leaves, all hell breaks loose. That's why he mans the monitors and keeps track of the members of the group. Thanks again, respectfully, Pamela. Well, thank you, Pamela. That's very cool. Bunch of cool stories tonight on the show. That's it for this evening. We will be back tomorrow, Tim. Mm-hmm. You know, we're this week going to be taking a look at the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Los Angeles, which is a really interesting possible UFO case that took place 75 years ago in front of millions of viewers. But tomorrow, Dr. Michael Sala is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the secret alliance between extraterrestrials, and the Navy.
Hmm.
Yeah. That'll open up the doorway to the strange UFO phenomena that we'll discuss later on in this week. Again, on Wednesday, Dr. Scott Kolbaba will join us, and we're going to talk to him about doctors' untold stories with the supernatural when science can't explain strange situations. Shell Taylor is with us on Thursday, Tim. She's going to talk about children of the paranormal and dealing with kids and the supernatural. And then, of course, Bill Burns is here with us. War of the Worlds Friday, 75th anniversary of the Battle of Los Angeles. That's what's going on. We got a great week lined up for you. Want to thank everybody for being a part of this. We also want to thank KNSI out in St. Cloud, Minnesota, for allowing us these great surroundings for us to continue to record this show and give you great high quality sounds. So make sure that you love on KNSI and let them know that you appreciate us being here and recording. Well, that's it for tonight. Be safe, be kind, love one another. We'll see you again tomorrow here on Beyond the Darkness.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.